Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is your host, Elohim, coming to you again live on Sunday at 3 o'clock. Okay, we have a very interesting show for you today. The title is, When Jesus Was Ready to Change the World, He Was Tempted by the Devil with Worldly Things. How are you overcoming your worldly temptations? Boy, that's interesting. Well, Like every week, the first thing we talk about is love because we think that's so important. They have changed the meaning of everything. I'm talking about the 1%. So no matter what words you engage yourself in, it means something totally different than the original intenders who created the languages in the first place. Okay? Now, love is an act that make others feel good. We want to stress that because if you are engaged in actions and you're not making other people feel good about the action that you're engaged in, then you're not acting out of love. Love is an action word, okay? I want to keep throwing that out there so that we can get that understanding. Also, love is a two-edged sword. Now, the way love is spelled in English is very interesting because if you get all emotionally attached, whereas you're overcome by emotion, you can actually commit evil on a person in the name of love. Now, if you think about it, when you spell love, when you read love from left to right, it spells love. But if you read it from right to left, it actually spells evil if you change that vowel, you know? So it's a two-sided sword. So you can actually create evil in the name of love without even realizing it. So you have to stick to the realistic rules of the universe. That's reap what you sow, and love is to act to make others feel good. So if you know that what you do is going to come back to you, make sure you only do things that you want to come back to you. That's physical actions and mental actions, all right? Because there's a reap what you sow reality to your mental actions as well. They put it on one group, put it, what you think about, you bring about, okay? So you have to control your thoughts and what you're thinking as well, all right? Those of you calling in, I want to thank you for calling in and supporting the Legacy of a Nation show. remember that if you have a comment or if you want to say anything or if you just want to give a shout-out, just press 1, and I'll know that you're there, okay? Other than that, you can listen and just enjoy the conversation, okay? I have a couple of hands up already, so when the hands go up, I like to bring them in right away because I don't know what part of the comments that I made that they might have a question on. So we're going to go with 6915. Okay, now I know the buttons are working. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. Okay. All right, so 6915, you're on the air. Do you have a comment or statement that you'd like to make at this point?
Am I being heard?
Yes, you are. Live around the world. You're being heard loud and clear, my beloved.
Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. Race first, yo.
okay. This is my brother.
Stepping up to the plate. Hey, peace to my brother. You know what I mean? I didn't get the chance to hear the prior conversation. I just wanted to call in and acknowledge it, brother. You know, and hopefully everything is going as well as a brother like you always make happen. So, you know, I'm hopefully get a little engaged in what you got going on today. You know, spirit is with me right about now to be able to build with you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yes, sir. I'm glad you called in and just stay on. And I'm going to leave your mic open in case you want to jump back in later on. So that
okay.
So now if there's any, you might have to mute your phone if there's any background noise that'll come through the mics, okay?
Sure will. Thank you.
So I'm gonna go to the next caller. That would be 8474. You're on the air. You'd like to have a comment or just make a shout out. You are now live.
Salaam alaikum, Raza Khan. Just checking in. How's everything? How's everybody?
Boy, that put a Kool-Aid smile on my face. Two Kool-Aid smiles right away, boy. I'm telling you. I'm glad you checked in. I appreciate you checking in. And also, I'm going to leave your mic open in case you want to make a comment later on. so just mute your phone so that if any background noise come in, it won't affect the airwaves, okay? And thank you so much,
okay.
Brother Rasikan. I appreciate you checking in. And also, while I'm on air, since Rasikan checked in, he also happened to be my brother, I want to give a shout-out to my other brother. It's his birthday, so I'm going to wish him a happy birthday for today. Okay, so we're going to move right along here.
Yeah,
so those of you who are checking in, I want to thank you very much for calling in and supporting the show. The topic for today is that when Jesus was ready to change the world, he was tempted by the devil with worldly things. And the question that we're asking is, how are we overcoming our worldly temptations? How are you overcoming your worldly temptations? So if you have a little trick or secret about how to overcome some of the things that are coming your way to draw you into evil intent, you know, you can just pop on and let us know, because we need to learn as much as we can. Also, like I say, I'm not a minister, teacher, guru, or anything. I'm just here with a message of love. And I think one of the problems that we're having, especially in the black community, so-called black community, is that we don't love each other, and mostly because we don't actually know what love is, okay? If any act that you're committing that doesn't make the other person feel good, then you're not acting out of love, and you need to teach your mate this, and y'all should respond by this equally, so that as long as you're around each other, you're only committing acts that make each other feel good, okay? Now, last week we went into some of the emotional triggers that the 1% are using to control and make you do their will or bend or body products and everything else. So I'd just like to briefly go back over that again, because I thought that was so important. The emotional triggers are tied to the things that we need to be working on as individuals, for our family and for the groups that we are involved in, okay? The biggest emotional trigger that they use is procreation. Procreation is very important, because without procreation, we would cease to exist, okay? And I'm talking about sex. You know it. That's the biggest thing that they throw at us in the commercials and everything else. They throw that sex up there because it's an emotional trigger, because they know how important the procreation is to our existence. And we know we have a firm attachment to the sex drive, so that's why they use that. The next one is survival. We have to survive. And one thing that we need to survive with is food. So food is another emotional trigger. This is why they do things dealing with taste. They always come at you with taste, not so much nutrition. Because if you start eating for survival and rather than taste, a lot of the stuff that they're selling you won't need, because a lot of stuff tastes good, but it ain't no good for you, you know? And so you have to be mindful how they're using these triggers. Now, since you live in this culture, if you have a product or you're selling something to the market, you might want to arrange your products around these emotional triggers, because this is what they're using to sell things and to get paid out there, and everybody needs to get paid. You know, I know we talk about the money, but we're living in a barter system. Whatever they're using the barter with, whatever people accept as barter, you can use that to barter with. I mean, you can use monopoly money if people accept it. You know, because the money that they're using right now, this Federal Reserve note, is just as valuable as monopoly money. But the only thing, the difference is, you'll accept the currency that they're using there, and you won't accept monopoly money. So, and number five is fear of loss. Now, that's very important. Fear of loss, that brings us into security. We don't want to lose our loved ones. We don't want to lose our friends. This is basically how they're controlling the planet, because you know, if you challenge them, they're going to come after you, they'll make you lose your family, they'll kill your children, they'll do whatever they want. So for the fear of loss, that's another emotional trigger, how to get you to do their will. Now, that security system, the things on the internet, for fear of losing your files and stuff like that there. So that's another emotional trigger that they deal with, you know, to get you to buy their products. Also, for number six, your thoughts. Now, I just want to throw this out there. Let's just deal with, well, actually, it's 1 through 5, okay? And now we're talking about food, clothing, shelter, and security. That's what we're talking about. And this is what we should be vibing on, and this is what we should be dealing with, okay? Even though we talk about as a friend of mine said, we talk about the pink people all the time, or the Europeans, we'll talk about the 1%, and they're all colors, believe it or not. We talk about them, but they're feeding millions of people. And right now, we're not even feeding one person. If they close the supermarkets down, we will be in big trouble. So you have to step up in your mind as to who you are, but we'll get into that a little later on, right? Now, let's get into your thoughts. Your thoughts are creative energy powered by emotional intent. Okay, emotional intent. All right? Now, I'm going to say that. I'm going to read that again. I did this last week, but this is something that we don't actually get into. And most people who are coming at you with information aren't giving you information to set you free. They're giving you information to carry you further into the trap they have set up so that they can use their mind control on you, okay? I'm going to say that again. Your thoughts are creative energy powered by emotional intent. Now, what do I mean by emotional intent? Now, you can put emotional energy behind something to get it done, to bring it to perfection. But when you get out of control, when your emotions begin to control you, then you're not even aware of what's going on in your surrounding. That's why people have to come up and say, look, calm down, man, calm down. Because what you're doing is not worth the reaction that you're giving because you're emotionally out of control. Now, if you use that emotion to power what you're doing, you'd be surprised how much power you have to do whatever you do. This is why our karate guys are breaking boards and bricks and everything else because of the emotional intent. They put an emotional in it without actually becoming emotional. That's why most people who are teaching you will tell you to learn how to control your emotions, okay? Now, the 1% has changed every aspect of energy into a culture of evil, okay? Now, energy is very important because we are energy beings. Everything in the universe is made up of energy, all right? Now, the 1% notice. I'm talking about the 1% because I'm trying to get you into a thought process that will free you from the mind control that they have on you, okay? Now, turn everything into evil. Now, this is what they have done. Now, I talk about this every week, but certain things I want to say every week because you're not used to hearing certain things. And I have to do like the Coca-Cola commercials over and over until it actually sinks in. Oh, that's what he meant. The trap, the trick that they play on you when you're a child, they tell you that you were created. That's a big trick. I know you said, wait a minute, man, God created me. I know I was created. You don't have to ask for power. You're carrying power. Now, at the minute you say that I was created, that makes you less than and not equal to. So if you were created, that means you're not a creator. So you're not thinking in terms of how can I create things for myself. You're thinking I have to go beg somebody outside of myself to make this for me. But that's not the reality of what's going on. The reality of what's going on is that you are actually the universe expanding itself. You are connected to the entire cosmos. And you are actually carrying power. So you can create whatever you want to change your reality because you are a creator. I'm going to say that again. You are a creator. I don't want to get too far into that. But that would take us into Trial Scriptures Part 1, and right now we're dealing with Part 2, okay? Now, one thing also I want to mention that we did 10 shows so far, and out of all the 10 shows, each title was from one of the songs on the CD that I put out, okay? The minute you say gospel, they take you into the mind control, and and you can appreciate the teachings of Jesus without getting into the mind control. You can appreciate the cheapness of Muhammad without getting into the mind control, okay? Because both of them taught some pretty amazing things, you know, and they have some pretty amazing concepts. Go into the books. Take out what you want that's going to make you a better person and leave the rest alone because a lot of the people that were translating the books, some of them were translating them as created beings. And a creative being thought process is not bringing you to the reality of freedom. And we need to understand the difference between the created being's thought process and a creator's process. It's like somebody give you a whole bunch of material, If you got the thought process of an architect, you're going to look at that material and start visioning all kinds of stuff you're going to build with it, you know, and things you can make. And then you get the same material to somebody without the architectural thought process, and all he's trying to figure out, how can I sell it to somebody to get paid? He's not thinking about building and creating anything because he don't have that creative mind. Conclusions you're coming to has a lot to do with the thought process that you're using to bring you to those conclusions. Now, there's people that have different thought processes, and they wind up coming to the same conclusions at the same time, even though they reached it by a different thought process, okay? Now, since we're talking about evil, let's ask the question, what is evil, you know? I mean, the 1%, we don't know what evil is. We think that the devil is somebody sitting down in the middle of the earth on a hot rock sipping tea, waiting for your soul to come down so it can torture you. I mean, when you stop and think about it, you say, well, that sounds a little strange, you know? But evil is anybody who will force their will on you. That's evil. Don't care who it is. If they're trying to force their will on you, that's evil. This country was created out of evil because they came here and forced their will on the indigenous people that were here. And all over the world, they're setting up systems based on evil, based on forcing their will on the people of the land. So, yes, this country was started by evil, it's run by evil, and everything in this country is done with the evil intent, because this is how they're getting you to acquiesce to their demands and what they want. They're using force, one of the five triggers, and that fear of loss is a great trigger, you know? So, now, this is how evil is controlling the world. They're controlling the world through that number four trigger, fear of loss. Okay? They're forcing their will on people. This is what they're doing. This is how, what's going on around the planet. And they got us doing the same thing, you know? Do what I tell you, or especially when you're dealing with leadership. Do what I tell you or get court-martialed. Do what I tell you or you'll get fired. Do what I tell you or, you know, this is forcing their will on people. There's a whole nother another way that we can run societies without running them with the systems that they have set up right now, because these systems are obsolete. Now, the republic system, we've given credit to the European, but the republic system was started by Narmer, who united Upper and Lower Kemet. Well, this is Black history, so I'm going to throw a little bit of stuff in there as we go along. Narmer, he united Upper and Lower Kemet and set up the republic to fight off the Hyksos, because they know they was coming. So a republic is a war machine. So whenever you're dealing in a republic, it's all about war. It's all about the battle. Battle to be the next president. Battle to be the next vice president. Battle to take over the person who's in charge of you, you know. It's a constant war situation, you know. So this is why the system was set up, to create that kind of mindset so that we would be able to fight off the Hyksos. Now, just to give you another tidbit, they made this movie called The Scorpion King. Well, the king of the south in Egypt, he was called the Scorpion King. And that's where they got that from. The Narmer was on one side, and the Scorpion King was on the other side, and they were doing battle with each other. But a lot of us don't know that, you know, when The Rock came out with the movie, you know. I'm trying to read what I have here so I can keep. Okay, here we go. How come we don't provide more security for the things we care about? Now, think about it. Now, let me show you the subliminal seduction that they do on us, right? They have a commercial that comes out. It says the least most valuable thing is in the child's room. So they put extra security everywhere else. What's more valuable to you than your child? See, that's subliminal seduction. Your child is the least valuable thing to you. This is how they play this game. You know, I'm sure some of you have watched this commercial. It's a security commercial. The guy comes in, checking the place out, said the least most valuable thing is in your child's room. What a subliminal bombshell that they're dropping on people, because they don't want you to value your children, but they know that if anybody going to get us out of this mess, who's it going to be? It's going going to be the children. So your most valuable asset that you have is your children, okay? Now, I'm going to speak just for a minute on just for a couple of seconds on economics. I like to do this periodically, too, because we're having so much trouble handling our money. We need to put ourselves on a 50% budget, all right? With the 50% budget, half of your all of your bills and everything that you're paying comes out of half of your income, all right? The other half you save and try to set up some type of residual income. Now, what's residual income? Residual income is something that you make one time and you don't have to make it again, and you can keep making money. You write a poem. That one poem keeps selling. You have to write the same poem over and over. You do a record. You know, you put that record out, it keeps selling. It'll sell until you do a new record. Real estate is one of the quickest ways to get into residual income, because you buy a building and you rent out rooms or apartments or whatever. Now, as long as you own the building, somebody is paying you rent. So, but in order to accomplish this, you have to first put yourself on a 50% budget. Don't be too hung up on the banks, because in reality, the banks need us. We don't need the bank. You go to the bank to get money, but if you got money, you don't have to go to the bank to get the money. You know what I mean? We're going to the bank because the bank owns most of the land. See, the bank knows what's going on, so they buying up all the land, and every time you want to buy something, you got to go to the bank to buy it because the bank owns it. So the bank knows what's going on. They're just not telling you what's going on. So that you won't catch on and start doing it for yourself. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm having a little trouble with this setup here. I'm trying to flip it around a little bit. So bear with me for a second. Oh, that's because I'm supposed to go into the commercial, and so I'm going to do that right now. Because usually every half an hour into the show, I go into the commercial and let you know some of the programs that I think you should watch that will help you. You know, they say good things, and they build you up a little bit, and you always learn something when you go to these particular programs. Now, one program that comes on every Saturday at 6 o'clock, it's called Legacy of a Nation. That comes on every Saturday at 6 p.m. That call-in number is 347-677-1533. That's hosted by Brother Mac. We have Radio Omar. His show comes on every morning at 6 a.m. And also he has a show comes on Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. That's 8:30 at night. And I use the same number, 347-677-1533. We also have the Will I Am show. That show comes on Sunday at 4 o'clock, right after my show, Will I Am, comes on. Now, this brother knows more about law than most lawyers. And if you have questions about law, if you're dealing with anything as far as people in jail and whatever little situation you have, you can call Will I Am, and trust me, he will help you get out of the situations that you're in. His number is 218-632-0460. Man, it's a conference call because he don't put it out to everybody. So you have to use a PIN number when you call in. That's 726-476-87 and press pound or listen to the operator, and she'll basically tell you what's going on when you call in, okay? I also like to give a shout out to Horace Butler. He made the books When Rocks Cry Out. I like that book because he understands history. Now, I've read almost everybody's books, from Sheikh Danny Diab to Anthony Browder to, you know, Henry Clark, everybody. I read all their books. But this guy understands history and how it was developed. So that's why I like him. So if you get a chance, Horace Butler, When Rocks Cry Out, you can go on YouTube and catch him and listen to, you know, some of the things that he says about the book, some of the things that's in the book, and you might want to get a copy. Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to Nikki Love, Gertrude Reader. Now, if you need help, guidance going into the future, she's a good person to call. She comes on every Thursday at 10 o'clock, and her number is 347-215-8040. And then lastly, we have the Elohim Radio Show that comes on every Sunday at 3 o'clock, Philadelphia time, U.S. I put that down there because we're tracking through other countries right now. And Central time and what you call them time don't help if you're from Germany or whatever, you know, and the people are calling in from other countries. So I put it down like that. so they would be able to figure out where they are and what time to actually call in, because some people are 3 hours away, 5 hours away, you know, and they're able to catch up with the show. Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to Black Cross Nurses, Division 178 at 53rd and Girard. Now, you know, we need nurses. Boy, do we need nurses. So we need nurses that we can trust, okay? And the one who has it, her name is Basima Muhammad. Her number is 215-796-0366. And you can give her a call and find out more about the Black Cross Nurses and how you can get involved and how you can join, okay? Now, I also have a CD on the market where I tell you the last 10 shows was based on the CD that I had. it's called Jesus is Coming. Now, the link for that CD is CD Baby/CD/Elohim Christ 2. That's number two. And I want you to check it out. And one of the songs is that Jesus is coming. Now, the question is, where is he coming from? They got all kinds of answers out there. Coming through the clouds, he's coming from here. But I think he's going to come from the same place he came from the first time, through one of the goddess's wombs. So you sisters out there who are dumping them babies, be mindful of what you're doing. You don't know who you're getting rid of. We need those babies. If you happen to get one of those million seeds to hit, you know what I mean, and that baby comes and you get pregnant, don't dump the baby. If you have to, give it up for adoption, whatever, but let the child live. Stop killing our babies. And if you get a chance, there's a CD I call My Alpha. I think that everybody needs to watch that. I don't know if you can get it on the internet or not, but, yeah, it's on the internet, YouTube. You can go on YouTube and catch out My Alpha, okay? Also, I have a book, Tyrannical Scriptures Part 2, that's on the market right now. You can go and get that at the same link, CD Baby/CD/Elohim Christ 2. All right? Now, also, I'd like to give a shout-out to RBG Industries. Now, this is the brother that makes clothes, he makes flags, he makes little buttons for you that you can, you know, if you want to sell little buttons and stuff like that there, you know, you can just contact him, and he can hook you up and take care of you real good. And I recommend, because he's a good person. I like his personality. He'll make sure you get what you need. That number is 609-638-5828. That's RBG Industries. So there you have it. Those are my shout-outs for today. And once again, I'd like to thank everybody that's called in and that's hanging on the line with me for today. I appreciate it. And now we're going to get back into the show here, okay? Now, now here we're going to start this off. We're going to start this section off with the $64,000 question, okay? Now this is the $64,000 question. Who are you? I mean, when we sit and think about what they're telling us, who we are. I mean, we go through so much stuff as reference to who we are, we're this, we're that, and we don't know who we are. Well, let's just go down some of this here, you know. Who are you relating yourself to? Are you relating yourself to the five tribes? Black, brown, red, yellow, white? Okay. Are you relating yourself to a landmass? You're African, you're Mexican, you're American, you're Haitian, you're Indian, you're Pakistani, you're Egyptian, you're French. You know what I mean? I mean, we don't know who we are, okay? Well, I have a rude awakening for you. I want to tell you who you are, okay? You can take this to the bank. Well, I don't know if you want to take it to those crooks, but I'm going to tell you who you are. You were in existence before the planet was even made. Now, let's talk about that for a minute, okay? You were here. You were in existence before the planet was made. So you're not locked into no little parcel or speck. There's billions of planets out there, and you're identifying yourself with this little speck as if that's the end-all, be-all of who you are. You are energy beings connected to the cosmos. Think about it. They gave you some of this in science. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. Think about that. Now, I'm going to say it again. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. So if you're made up of energy, and everything in the cosmos and the universe is made up of energy, how could you have been created? See, they know you won't ask yourself this question because they have given you the thought process of being a creative being. So you don't even think about this kind of stuff because it just, it's in your mind as a done deal. But it's not a done deal because they know who they are. I'm talking about the 1%. They know they're gods. You follow what I'm saying? Because remember when they had the indigenous people as slaves, or some of them are slaves, that's a whole other show. But when they had the indigenous people as slaves, they made you call them Lord, made you call them Master, because they knew who they were. They gave you the creative concept to control and manipulate your mind. Because everybody, now this might hit some of you the wrong way, but every group, every religious group that you're in, no matter how different that they are or what they say they're doing, there's one underlining thought. You were created. That's the key. That's the key to bring you into the mind control because you're subservient now. You're less than now. You're not equal to. So now all they have to do, since you were created, is give you a God. The Muslims got a God. Christians got a God. The Hindus got a God. Okay. The Rosicrucians got a God. Hebrews got a God. Everybody got a God for you. But which one is the real God? Will the real God please stand up? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to belittle the thought process or what you're thinking about, but you really have to think about what's going on. Once you realize that you are actually made up of source substance, the same substance that the whole cosmos is made up of, and you're connected. Jesus said, I am my Father one. Muhammad said, Allah is one. Okay? If everything is one, why you got yourself all chopped up into 100 different pieces? You see? All of us are energy beings connected to the same source. We're connected to source energy. And we're being powered by this energy because we're connected to it. You cannot disconnect yourself from source energy because that's who you are. You are part of all of this. So you're not, just back to my same point, you don't have to ask for power. You're carrying power, right? Now, I'm going to get into a little high science, all right? Now, this is some of the stuff that comes from some of the mystery schools that they don't tell you, that they don't teach you about. But I'm going to drop it on the airwaves because we need to know this stuff, all right? All physical matter exists because of the infusion of incorporeal energy, all right? Now, they got that incorporeal energy thing all screwed up. It's a spirit, it's a soul, what the heck is it? But without incorporeal energy, physical matter could not exist in the state that it's in. Physical matter in the solid form couldn't exist without incorporeal energy fused with it. Now, are you an incorporeal? You are. Now, check this out. You are an incorporeal being formed in flesh. Now, what does that make you? That makes you gods of this universe. Because now you have the power to manipulate source energy for your own purpose, right? Just think about it. When the 1% needed planes, they didn't go pray. They start building factories, man. They start building factories and training the children on how to create them planes because they know that they have the ability to create everything, and the power that you need to do that is already in you. You already have it. They just want to make sure that you don't have it, that you don't know that you have it. Challenge them. Because once you start using this power that you have, you become a threat to them because they no longer can control you because you're carrying the same power that they carry. They didn't know that. See what I'm saying? As incorporeal beings, as incorporeal beings, right? I'm just giving you just a little history. As incorporeal beings, you came into this dimension, right? Through the black hole up near Sirius A, B, and C. Okay? Now, they can't speak on this too much because they just now found out about Sirius A and B. They didn't talk about Sirius C. But you're coming through the black hole, and in this dimension was nothing but gas. They were worried about the gas igniting and burning a hole through both dimensions. So they did control burns to control the gas to see if it would jump from particle to particle, but it didn't because dark matter is constantly moving the matter. So once it ignited, only what they ignited burned. This is where your suns came from. When they made the first three suns of this, size A, B, and C, they infused it with incorporeal energy, and they can make it as dense as they want. Now, this is something that you don't know. I'm going to drop this just a little bit. I don't go too far into this. But incorporeal energy, now the reason they have so much trouble detecting incorporeal energy don't vibrate. There's no vibratory frequency for incorporeal energy. Now, this is high science. These guys, you can go to any one of these scholars that you want, and they can't speak on this. Now, as far as they got, which is a book I put out about 12 years ago, they're coming into string theory now, okay, which is everything in the universe is energy. But we've been through that, all right? They're just now coming into the science. So they've mathematically worked it out so they can begin to understand it and put it in a code so that you can't understand that they're going back into your own knowledge, giving it back to you. And this is what they'd be doing, okay? Now, now, that's about as far as I want to go into that, but that's high science. With this type of understanding, and if you know how to, well, we don't have the machinery with the electron microscopes and all that stuff to actually do the research on what I'm saying, but you can. They talk about a little bit of this on some of their science programs. That's why so many children are into Star Trek and all that stuff, you know. Subspace. The subspace is dark matter. And they're using subs travel at speeds beyond the speed of light, okay? But now, in reality, they know subspace is there. They can detect it, but they're not able to use it. They can't manipulate it. They can't make it do anything. It's just there. And what they call subspace is actually dark matter. So if you get a chance, you can go on YouTube and just type in dark matter, and they will come up and they will start telling you a few things about dark matter for those who don't know anything about dark matter. And the best way to understand what dark matter is sacred geometry. I'm just going to say that one time. Now, this is something that Brother Will.i.am gets into. He knows about all this math and stuff, and he knows about a lot of these things that are govern the universe. So if you get a chance, you go on the show, you might ask him some of these things while we run out of time. So I want to just, since this is February, right, I like to get into just a little bit of Black history, okay? Now, Black history is really world history. All right, they call it Black history, but it's the history of the planet, you know. Now, one person I like to mention that they never speak about, although he was one of the greatest minds on the planet, I'm talking about Imhotep. Okay, he's one who set up the first step pyramid. Okay, he also did the first medical papyrus as well. This thing that they talk about, the oath that they take, all this was created by Imhotep. You know, and when I say papyrus, that's actually short for paper. Because we made the first paper, too. First paper came out of Africa, too. So I'm just going to drop just a couple of things, okay? Now, we want to talk about the open-heart surgery. The first open-heart surgery was done in Africa. The first brain surgery was done in Africa, okay? Now, the first C-sections, a lot of us don't know this, but the first C-sections was done in Africa. And when the Europeans found out that we were doing C-sections, they tried it, and five out of ten of the females were dying from a C-section because they didn't know how to do it. So they had to come in Africa and learn how to do C-sections. But from who? From the witch doctors. They're the ones that was doing the operation. See, when they say witch doctors, they got you thinking some heebie-jeebie, but that's not true. The witch doctors were actually herbologists. They studied for 25 years before they got their first patient. You know, they knew every herb and on the planet. And when you're talking about herbs, let's talk about anesthetics. Because the witch doctors taught them how to use anesthetics. And they cutting off people's legs and arms without no painkiller, you know, until the African showed them how to do that, you know. Also, let's talk about electroplating. You know how they say electroplating gold and stuff like that there? That was done in Africa, too, you know. I forget the European's name, they give credit for lightning. Somebody put some kite up there in the air or something silly like that. But the Africans had machines that was running off electricity to make their clothes. Hello? I'm going to say that again. They had machines that ran off electricity to make their clothes. The Energizer Bunny did not make the first battery. Trust me. The first battery and the lamp came out of Africa. In fact, they call it the Baghdad battery. It's still in operation over there today. Okay? Now, let's talk about philosophy. You know, they tend to take everything back to Greek. But the Greeks didn't have no philosophy. Greek philosophy is African philosophy. Most African scholars or black scholars will tell you that that's what's going on with the philosophy. They weren't philosophizing. This is something that comes from the African continent. Now, there's more stuff that I can get into in reference to African history, but. Well, in reference to black history, we're talking about African history, but there's so many things that are going on that they're hiding from us that they don't want us to know, you know? And the main thing that my message is about is to help you free your mind. That made me think about the Matrix. You got to free your mind. And in order to free your mind, you have to have a better thought process than the one you're using. And if you're using a thought process that you were created, that somebody made you, that you're less than and not equal to anything in this universe, then the thoughts or the conclusions that you're going to come to will not bring you to the conclusions that you want to make yourself free, okay? You want to be free? Begin to create a situation that will free yourself. What is freedom? Freedom is control. This is what... they don't want you to know. They got all kinds of different things about freedom. But think about it. What do you have control over? Do you have control over the military here? No, I don't think so. Do you have control over food production? I don't think so. Are you building the homes that you're living in? I don't think so. Food, clothing, shelter, security. You don't have no control over none of those things. So the point is, how do you get control? Once you understand that you can create a way to get control, you will stop and start figuring it out. Now, here's something that they really don't want you to know. You are God. As a God, you have to step into the mind of God. What's God's role? God's role is to maintain the cosmos. That means that you're responsible for 7.1 billion people on this planet. You're responsible. And you come up with a plan to create a system to take care and manage 7.1 billion people? Yes, you can. You can. You follow what I'm saying? The 1%, this is what they're doing now. They come up with systems to manage and control everybody on the planet because they know it's their responsibility. Since you don't think it's your responsibility, the only reason why you're not come up with a plan because you're not thinking about it. But you have just as much brain power as anybody on the planet. There's nothing that you cannot do if you realize who you are, okay? You are connected to source energy and you are the universe in an expansion mode. That means you can expand into anything that you want, do anything that you want, go anywhere that you want. The only thing stopping you from doing whatever you want to create is the guy in the mirror. Like Michael Jackson said, the man in the mirror. Follow what I'm saying? The greatest thing in this universe is you. There is nothing greater. There's nothing more powerful. Now, yes, you're connected to the cosmos. You're connected to power. Follow what I'm saying? But the power don't control you. You control the power. These are the things that they don't want you to know. You control this power. How do you control this power? By your thought process. You have to first understand who you are. There is nothing greater than you. There's nothing more powerful than you. And there's nothing that you cannot create. So what I'm suggesting that you do is go forth and create a better reality for yourself. Sit down. Plan it out. Think about it. If you think about it, and if you come to a complete plan, that plan will begin to manifest because you are bringing it into existence. You have that kind of power. You can bring into existence whatever you want. What you think about, you bring about. Now, what do they want you to think about? They want you to think about the big old Super Bowl game they had. You know what I mean? How is that going to bring you into anything? They want you to think about the Knicks and the Sixers and football. I mean, golf and hockey. You know what I mean? This is what they want you thinking about, things that's not going to get you across the street. Here's the first thing you have to do. Listen to your brother. Figure out what it is that you actually want. End game. What is my end game? By the time I get 80 and 90, and I'm thinking about leaving here, right, what do I want to have accomplished by then? And then once you get your end game, then you go back to the beginning. What's the first thing that I have to do to get to my conclusion? And then a system will begin to unfold, because your brain is not carrying the answer. Your mind is. That's probably another show. I got a few more minutes here. Your brain is not the answer. Your mind is. Your mind is what's connected to the cosmos. Okay? That's why they say mind control. They want to control the information coming into your brain. That's just what they want to do. And as long as you put an emphasis on your brain and not dealing with your mind and not know how the mind and the brain reacts with each other, they can give you things that will trigger emotional responses in your brain, and your and it will slow down the information coming in from the cosmos through your mind, right? I ain't going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I'm just going to go over just a little bit of this. See, this is what we call high science. This is what's in the mystery teachings that they have been fighting so long to not let you have, okay? The brain is like a computer. And the computer, the thought process of the computers that you're using is based on the programming that you're using. If you got Microsoft 10, Windows, if you got Windows 10, the process that Windows 10 can do, Windows 7 can't. See? Two different programmings. And what Windows 8 can do, see? Windows 7 can do. See? And what Windows 8.1 can do, what Windows 9 can do, Windows 8 can't do. You know what I'm saying? Then from different manufacturers, you got different software that run the computer. Apple got a different software than Microsoft, okay? This is what I'm saying, and this is how your brain is. The programming that's in your brain determines how much you can do. So you got to step up. 3.0, 5.0, you got to increase the programming into your brain. How do you do that? That's a good question. How do I reprogram my brain based on what's going on? The first thing that you have to do is take out the underlying mind control that's permeating most of the planet right now. You were created. That's number one. So once you get rid of that, understand that you are a creator, okay, and that you are connected with all of the cosmos, all the power. You're connected to everything, and that you can create and do what you want. And when you think about something, use emotional intent. Don't get emotional about it, but use emotional intent. And that will help bring this stuff into existence for you, okay? Now, the mind is connected to the incorporeal body, because there's two bodies living in this thing, vibrating at different speeds, okay? And the mind is connected to the incorporeal body. The the brain is connected to your physical body. Now, there's a dimension in between the two. It's called the oracle. Now, this is a trick that the 1% use. They turn everything into, give it to the oracle of Delphi, and he was a man, and yada, yada, yada. But no, that's to throw you off. See what I'm saying? The oracle is a dimension between the mind and the brain. Now, as you meditate, your synaptic nerves increase. Reading helps your synaptic nerves increase, too. That's why they tell you to read more. Reading, even watching movies and stuff, that helps increase your synaptic nerve, but not as fast as reading, because reading engages both sides of the brain. So when you, as you increase your synaptic nerves, the oracle acts as the governor that allows certain information that comes through the governor into your brain. If that governor wasn't there, the mind would burn the brain out because too much information would come in, and it would blow your brain up. You know, some people's governors don't work right. They walk around the street, blue foaming at the mouth, and don't understand why. But so you have to increase your synaptic nerve function through meditation, reading, or watching movies and DVDs. That will help increase your synaptic nerve. That will allow the brain, that will allow the mind, that will allow the oracle to allow more information into the brain without burning the brain out. Now, if each child has a mind and a brain, see, how come the mind don't burn the child's brain out? Because the oracle only let information in based on the child's synaptic nerve development. So when you have little children, get them reading as soon as possible, okay? Get them watching educational programs as soon as possible. Talk to them as much as possible so that their synaptic nerves will increase. And when their synaptic nerve increases to a certain point, the DNA actually activates as well. You see what I'm saying? So you go through a DNA activation period because it seems like years you can't seem to get anything. Then all of a sudden, you're understanding everything that come at you. You've went through a DNA activation. Okay, I'm running off some of this stuff pretty quick. Okay, but you can go on the internet and archive some of the show, and you know, because each show is being recorded. All right, that's why I go through so much in this hour. I know you're not going to remember everything, but I go through so much because it's recorded and you can go back, download it, and you can go through it little by little, and you can begin to research some of the stuff I'm telling you. well, we almost have
time. That's the best way to deal with it, too. You got the research.
Yes, sir.
That way, once you do research, it gets stuck in your mind, stuck in your head. You know what I mean? If you're not sure, look for something wrong. Look for something you don't understand. Look for something you don't feel right about it. Why you don't feel right about it. And then come up with an explanation. You know, some real evidence that would support your explanation. Sound good, though, huh? Oh, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that comment.
Yeah, and I was very impressed with the fact that I don't have to dwell on being created. That's the biggest impressive part of this dialogue that you've been having and information that you've given, because that definitely fits right into my character as a individual, you know, to know the fact that I haven't been created. I'm part of the creating of what this universe is about. And that right there is why I believe our ancestors were so powerful in the beginning of creating Kemet and the pyramids and the sciences and the mathematics and the astrology and so much of a mass of creative abilities at that time, because they didn't have anything before them. So they were creating what was as is. You know what I'm saying?
Right, absolutely.
So they were the as is.
They knew who they were.
Yeah.
So we got about 60 more seconds here. That was 10 seconds ago. So the show is almost over. And for all of you who have called in and patiently just listened and checked out what's going on, I want to thank you so much. And those of you who gave me a shout out and gave me a little bit of information, a little more, that's inspirational. That helps me, you know, keep going week after week after week. And so those of you who are saying anything, just knowing that your numbers are there, that you're calling in, and that's a big help. That inspires me. You know, it's going on now. We're tracking across the globe. We're tracking in other countries as well. So this information is being received. And so those of you, thank you very much. And I appreciate it. About 10 seconds left. So all I can say right now is that love is and always will be the answer. And once again, thank you very much. You inspire me, and I hope I can just say one little thing to inspire you. Much love.
Much love, bro. Race first.